Since our last show, the Yankees were sweeping in Seattle and got revenge against a team from the American League West that swept them just a week ago. We'll break down both series, a couple of injury updates, and the September call-ups, and more on this episode of the Pinstripe Talk Podcast, which begins right now.
You are listening to the Pinstripe Talk Podcast, powered by Overtime Media.
Broadcasting live from the Vivid Seat Studio in Garfield, New Jersey, this is another episode of the Pinstripe Talk Podcast. I'm your host, Nick Delahanty. Since our last show, the Yankees had two really nice series wins as they defeated two American League West teams in the Seattle Mariners and the Oakland Athletics. On this show, we'll break down both of those series and we'll take a look at some of the key concepts and things that happened during those series. We'll also look at some of the injury updates for the Yankees, the latest injury updates. Could this team be getting healthy at the right time? It looks like reinforcements will be on the way for the Bronx Bombers. It's just a matter of time. Some positive injury news, some not so positive news regarding the injury standpoint, but we'll break it all down for you during this show. Also, we'll look at the Yankee September call-up, some surprises that weren't called up that we'll discuss later on in the show. As always, if you'd like to interact with us, you can find us on Twitter at Pinstripe Talk ND. You can also hit up my personal account at Nick_Delahanty. If you're a Facebook user, find us on there. Search us up, Pinstripe Talk Podcast. Give the page a like. You can find our podcast on any podcasting platform from Apple Podcasts. Subscribe, rate, and review the show on there. Google Play Music, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, CastBox, Pocket Cast, Breaker, Stitcher. You name it, our show is there available for you. Make sure you share the link with your friends. Let them join in on the conversation as well. A lot going on in Yankee land. We're excited to break it down. We are disappointed that the summer is ending, and we know that summer is still a few weeks away from being over. However, school's back in session this week, and of course, as you already know, if I said it before, I'm a teacher, so my summer's over. I go back to work, but I'm excited for what the postseason has in store for the New York Yankees. I think that this team is special, and I can't wait to see where the Yankees end up come the end of October. Hopefully they're playing deep into October, into November, and hopefully the World Series championship comes back to the Bronx, where it definitely belongs. Let's get right into the action and talk about the Seattle Mariners series. And as always, the Mariners got off to a hot start this year, but have really fallen off the table. They're not a contending team. It's a series where you sit back and you look at it and you say, you know what, the Yankees should be able to take this series, if not sweep this series. And that's what they were able to do. They go into Seattle, they win all three games, and you come home and you refresh heading into a series against the Oakland A's where they just swept you a week ago in their home stadium. So that was another big series that was coming up for the Yankees. But let's take a quick look at all three games in Seattle, starting with August 26th. The Yankees win that game 5-4. A couple of key players in that one. Gleyber Torres hits his 33rd homer of the year. Gleyber's been on a rampage as of late. He's been a real asset to this Yankee lineup throughout the whole year. A lot of people didn't expect him to have this type of power, but at 22 years old, Torres is showing that he's quickly growing into one of the game's best players. It's going to be exciting to see what he can do over the next couple of years as he starts to get comfortable in the big league setting. And let's be real, you know, Gleyber's absolutely crushing the ball now. Imagine when he starts learning pitchers better and learning ballparks and different things like that. This kid's going to be an absolute star in this game. He's already budding into one of the great stars of the game, and it's only starting here. There's still a lot of room for him to grow as a player, and it's going to be scary for opposing teams when they're going to have to face him 3 to 4 times a night. The other key star in that game is Mike Ford. Yes, the Mike Ford, who was in the minor leagues for most of the year, comes up. He's been hot of late. We all remember what he did in L.A. Didi goes down. The Yankees sub him into the ballgame. Ford goes on to have two big hits, helps the Yankees get a victory there. He has two home runs in this ballgame, three RBIs. Him and Torres basically combined for the Yankees offense in that one. J-Hap was on the mound for that one. Five innings, only allowed two hits, three runs. The thing that really scares you is the walks. They do come back to kill you. Fortunately for Hap, he was able to only allow two runs. And then that was the game we had the whole Corey Guerin mess. I can't even fathom what that whole mess was about. Guerin gets called for a balk. He toe taps in his delivery. Mariners had him earlier in the year, so there's some speculation that they might have tipped off the umpire that it's an illegal pitch or an illegal move. Umpire calls it. Guerin has an argument with the umpires. Really isn't able to get past it. Yankees turn to Cortez, who was solid in his one inning plus of work. And then they went to Canley and Chapman to close it out. Yankees take that first game by a score of 5-4. The second game of the series was a lot calmer. Masahiro Tanaka was on the mound. And once again, Masahiro Tanaka dominated. Seven strong innings, only allowed three hits. Luis Sessa comes in to close the door. Yankees pitch a shutout in that one. Gardy hit a home run. Judge hit a home run. Yankees offense was 1-for-12 with runners in scoring position, but they were able to score enough runs to win the game. You'll take that as a positive. Definitely a series win. You go for the sweep in game three. Yankees go on to win that one 7-3. Hit four home runs in that ballgame. It was a rematch or a matchup of the guys who got traded for each other during the offseason. James Paxton for the Yankees matched up against Justice Sheffield, the highly touted prospect who the Yankees gave up for Paxton in the offseason, like I mentioned. Paxton was okay. Five innings again, five walks. Just like Hap, the walks have to be diminished. They're going to hurt you in the postseason. We're calling it now. Sheffield, not so good. 4 1/3, allowed five runs. Let up two home runs, one to Sanchez. Another home run in the series by Ford. DJ LeMahieu and Judge added home runs later in the game. Yankees win that game. Yankees leave Seattle. And it's a beautiful end to the road trip that started off with that ugly sweep by the Oakland Athletics. Now, when you're done with this series, you're coming back to the Bronx. And you have the A's waiting for you. So it's time for some redemption. Yankees go into that series looking to take the series win. And we'll discuss that series when we come back from a quick commercial break here on the Pinstripe Talk podcast. There is a couple of weeks left in the baseball season. Are you heading to Yankee Stadium before the season ends? Or at least before the regular season ends? If so, remember to check out Vivid Seats. Use the promo code OVERTIME in the Vivid Seats mobile app to save up to $100 on all ticket purchases. This is for first-time customers only. So if you're looking to go to a Yankee game before the regular season ends and you want a nice discount on tickets, go to Vivid Seats Mobile and use the code OVERTIME in your promo code and you'll save up to $100 on your first ticket purchase. Thank me later. Definitely, if you head out to the stadium, take some pictures. Send it to us. Tag us in the tweet at Pinstripe Talk ND. Make sure you take advantage of this great opportunity before the opportunity is no longer available. That's once again Vivid Seats Mobile and use the promo code OVERTIME. And we're back to this episode of the Pinstripe Talk podcast. I'm your host, Nick Delahanty. Before the break, we broke down the Seattle Mariners series, a great series sweep for the Bronx Bombers. Now let's look at the Yankees weekend series against the Oakland A's in the Bronx. And it didn't start off the way the Yankees had hoped it would. The Yankees end up losing the first game of the series 8-2. And it just brought back reminders of how the Yankees struggled in Oakland. And you wonder, you know, how come this Yankee team, with all this talent, has such trouble with the Oakland A's? Yes, they're a scrappy team. They have a couple of good ball players on their roster. But the Yankees are the better team in this situation. And you just sit there and you're like, you know, how is this keep happening that they're losing to the A's? And CC Sabathia took the mound for the Yankees. And he didn't last long. Went three innings and he didn't struggle, not at all. CC only allowed one run over his three innings of work. Left the game after 48 pitches due to knee injury. The same knee that's been giving CC a problem for years now. And it's becoming rather frustrating for CC, who had the knee drained and had a cortisone shot in it. And you could tell the frustration from the 39-year-old. And we all remember that before the year, CC announced that this was going to be his last go-around. This was going to be it for him. And it's upsetting because of all the good that CC Sabathia has done for this Yankee organization and this Yankee franchise. In 2009, when CC came over and led the Yankees to a World Series, he was a guy you wanted on the mound every day. Now it's not so much. You know, CC going out there every fifth day is not helping this Yankee team. They're having to play bullpen games because CC can't give them length and CC's knee is just not holding up. And of course, everything he's done for the organization, you can't help but thank him. And you definitely have to think that he's a future Hall of Famer once it's all said and done. And it's really upsetting to the fact that now he's retiring as a guy who everybody's going to remember as somebody who broke down. His knee broke down on him. And you know what? It's part of life. Father time gets everybody. And father time gets everybody except Tom Brady, that is. We're hoping that that happens soon, as you probably know, I'm a Jets fan. But you just feel bad for CeCe. You just wish that this year would have left him at least healthy, where he could have went on the mound and had control of how his season ended. It's not the way that CeCe wants it to end. It's not the way the Yankees had hoped it would end as well. But for now, does CeCe really help this team by taking the mound? Quite frankly, you have to say that the answer is no. I wouldn't put him on the mound in the postseason. I wouldn't put him on the mound anytime soon the way the knee's been bothering him. At this point, it looks like Sabathia may be a spectator, may be forced to be a spectator come the postseason. Will the Yankees try everything in their power to keep him on the roster? I would think so. I think there's too much respect on the Yankee side for CeCe that they'll try to maneuver a way to keep him on the roster and at least keep him active in the postseason. Maybe they shift him to the bullpen and let him throw, because he's probably not going to be able to give you five or six innings at a time. He's not the same workhorse that we remember from when he was younger, but you just have to feel bad for the big fella, 39 years old, and you have to believe that he's going to retire because of that knee. He's already said it in the past. He's probably going to have a knee replacement once he's done playing. It's just frustrating, man. And for a guy like CeCe, he was good in the clubhouse, still good in the clubhouse, a good leader, even better warrior on the field for many years, stated before a Hall of Famer in my eyes. So you hope that CeCe could get healthy and be a contributor, but right now, you have to question if we'll see CeCe pitching in any meaningful innings down the stretch, because the way his injury history has been this year, it doesn't look like the injury is going to allow CeCe to be the competitor that he strives to be on a daily basis. And I'm sure it's frustrating for him. I'm sure it's frustrating for the Yankees, because they would love to have a healthy CeCe on the mound. Even though he's not the same pitcher, he's a guy that you would put on the mound and you have to trust in big situations, because he's just a warrior. He just wants to be out there. He is the type of guy who will lay it all out on the line for you. So best wishes to CeCe. We hope he gets better, but his future looks very unclear right now. And we hope that there's some clarity for him, and hopefully he'll be able to contribute in some way or somehow down the stretch. On the final day of August, in Game 2 of the series, the Yankees decided to let the long ball do the talking. Yankees win that ball game 4-3 in an afternoon contest that went into extra innings. So if you were a fan in the stands that day, you got two extra innings of baseball. I'm sure you were thrilled about that. The Yankees got to an early lead in the second. Gary Sanchez hits a home run. He adds a home run in the fifth to tie the game up at 2. Yankees are trailing 3-2 going into the bottom of the eighth when Aaron Judge is back hitting home runs. He hits one into the crowd, a towering blast into right center field, his 19th of the year. That ties the ball game up. We head into extras. It is a beautiful thing seeing Judge hitting baseballs into the stands once again. Judge getting hot at the right time. Sanchez over 30 home runs. Once again, another great year for Sanchez. And then they go into extra innings. DJ LeMahieu hits a walk-off home run to give the Yankees a 4-3 victory. Let the celebration begin. It was a great afternoon in the Bronx. Yankees now have the chance to take the series from the Oakland Athletics and rewrite the script from just a week ago, where the A's played better baseball than the Yankees. You know, it's a big thing for the Yankees to bounce back in this series. And it might be overlooked or overstressed, but Oakland's a team you could see in the postseason. You don't want that last taste of the matchup between the two to be in favor of Oakland, saying, you know what, we beat these guys not only on the road, but at home as well. So wherever we play them, we think we could beat them. So the Yankees make a statement win there. They force at least a battle for that series victory on Sunday, the first game in September. Before we head into September, it's important to note the Yankees set the single season month home run record with 74 homers. No team has ever done that in baseball history. The high was 58 before that. So the Yankees shatter that mark. 74 home runs in a calendar month. That is just absolutely, positively insane. I guess that the Yankees had a lot of fun on Saturday afternoon winning in walk-off fashion, that they decided to do it again on Sunday in the series finale against the A's, winning that ball game 5-4. The Yankees were down 4-0 heading into the bottom of the eighth inning. The Yankees scored 3 in the eighth and scored 2 in the bottom half of the ninth. But here is the exciting part of that game. The Yankees tie up the game by a home run from Brett Gardner. Guardy Party, 19 home runs on the year. A lot of people, including myself, questioned that contract at the beginning of the year, saying, you know, why are you paying Gardner so much? You know, you have Frazier, you have this guy, you have that guy. But Gardner has proven, once again, that he's valuable to this Yankee team. So I owe Brett an apology. I hope he keeps it up. But it was hard not to doubt it at the beginning of the year, especially with guys like Frazier, with, you know, Judge, Hicks, Stanton. You have a very crowded outfield. So Gardner definitely proved that he belongs. And with all the injuries, he's been very valuable to this team. After Gardner's home run, the tie ball game didn't last long, as Mike Ford pinch hit for Clint Frazier, who was the DH in the ball game. Ford comes up and hits another home run, his 10th of the season. The guy is just hitting the baseball so well. Gives the Yankees a walk-off victory. Second straight day that the Bronx Bombers walk it off in the Bronx. Very exciting for Yankee fans in attendance. And this is something that the Yankees haven't done in a very long time. This is the first time that the Yankees have had back-to-back walk-off home runs since May 16th and 17th of 2009 against the Minnesota Twins. That's from KT Sharp. She works with the Talkin' Yanks crew. That's a great follow on Twitter if you don't already, at KT Sharp. That's a great stat. And there's a lot of parallel between the Yankees of now to a couple of World Series teams from the past. James Smith, who works for the YES Network, another great follow, is at JamesSmith621, said the Yankees hit back-to-back tying and walk-off home runs three times in the history of the franchise. The first time was in 1949. Tommy Heinrich and Joe DiMaggio did it. Then back in August of 2000 against the A's, once again the A's, Bernie Williams and David Justice had the honors. And this past Sunday, where Gardner and Ford went back-to-back, belly-to-belly. You want to know what the common thing between 1949 and 2000 was? The Yankees ended up winning the World Series in both years. So, if that's a good sign, we'll definitely take it. Over to the Yankees' last 20 home series, they're 17-0-3. They're taking care of business at home. And that's why home field advantage is so important in the American League. The Yankees are good at home. Get the extra games at home. We want the decisive Game 5 or Game 7 in the Bronx, in front of the Bronx faithful. It's super, super important. And, you know, you look at it now, with Sunday's win, the Yankees became the first team in baseball to 90 wins. So you have to give a lot of credit to not only the organization for putting together a team that is capable of winning, but also Aaron Boone for how he has improved as a manager. You know, look at all the injuries the Yankees have had this year, and we'll talk about it more as time goes on. But, you know, if you would have told me that the Yankees had so many injuries and still are in first in the American League East and have the best record in baseball at this point, I probably would have laughed at you and said, number one, you're crazy, and number two, how come so many injuries? But they continue to win games. And if you watch the YES Network after the ballgame on Sunday, Michael Kay said it, there's something special about this team. There really is. There's something special about this group of guys as they come out every day with a fire to win. It doesn't matter if it's the best guy on the roster or the 25th man. They come to play. They come to win that day. And it always seems like it's a different guy stepping into the spotlight. And that's what makes it so special. You never know what to expect on a given day. And yes, they're going to have a lot of hard decisions come the postseason. They're going to have to narrow it down to 25 guys. If they get healthy the way they're expected to, there's going to be a lot of tough decisions to be made, especially come the offseason. But for now, this is awesome to watch. And it's really fun to see just how much fun these guys have on a daily basis. They're really embracing this role of, you know what, next man up. Next guy has to do the job. Next guy has to help this team come through with a victory on that given day. And hopefully the special feeling continues throughout the postseason, because even though they've had injury problems, even though the starting pitching hasn't been amazing, this team continues to find ways. And right now, you have to expect that they'll even find a way to win it come postseason time. That's just how special and how good this team has proven that they are. A lot could change over the next month. There's a lot of baseball left to be played in the regular season. Heck, Hopefully there's a lot of baseball left to be played come the postseason. There's a lot of good teams in baseball. But if the Yankees want to win that World Series title, that next man up mentality is going to have to stick. And these guys are going to have to continue producing on a daily basis the way they've been doing. You know, you could be a great regular season team and it not transpire in the postseason. But the way this team plays on a daily basis makes you feel like this team can overcome any challenge that they're presented with. Let's see if they truly are up to that challenge. Because the next few weeks and the next 2 months are going to show us just what this team is truly capable of doing. September is the month where Major League Baseball allows teams to expand their roster. So if a player's on their 40-man roster, they're eligible to be called up to the big league club to add a little depth as teams not only fight for postseason spots, but to provide additional pitching, additional position players, etc., etc. So the Yankees have called up a couple of players, and one of them being Clint Frazier, who we all know has been stashed in the minor leagues over the last couple of months, even though he had a really good couple of first months when he was up with the big league club. Frazier will get a chance to play. He's a guy that will add additional depth. We'll talk about it in a little while. Right now, Cameron Maybin's a little banged up. But it's good to see Frazier back with the big league club. Hopefully, he's worked on the things that Cashman detailed for him. Hopefully, he's matured a little bit because this is a big league talent. It's just a matter of getting him an everyday spot to play. And let's be honest, this might be a tryout for other teams. He might be a piece that the Yankees trade during the offseason. There's a guy that has a lot of potential, a lot of talent, and a team looking for outfield help might call up the Yankees and say, you know what, we have this that would help you. We want Clint Frazier in return. So this is a big month for Frazier. He should get some at-bats. I don't think the Yankees would have called him up unless he was going to get some at-bats. And we'll see what he can do if he could continue that hot streak that he had earlier in the year. A couple of other guys the Yankees called up. Ryan Dahl. We saw him in Sunday's game. Chance Adams, another pitcher. Also, Tyler Lyons, they added to the Major League roster. They put David Hale on the 60-day injured list. A couple of pitchers to add depth. Remember, this is the last year where teams can expand the roster where they could carry as many guys from the 40-man as possible. Starting next year, they are limiting it to 28 guys, active players for games in the final month. So this is going to be the last time where you're going to see teams with 10 to 15 relievers in the bullpen. Not that that's a bad thing, limiting it, but it will give teams extra bodies to help them out over the stretch. And in turn, it will also limit the amount of guys that teams do bring up because it is kind of annoying having so many pitching changes and whatnot. And that's what you're going to get when you have so many guys on your active roster. The Yankees also made a trade late on Saturday night where they traded Ryan McBroom to Kansas City in exchange for international signing bonus pool money and a player to be named later or cash considerations. Now, you've probably heard the name Ryan McBroom, and this guy was having a monster year in AAA for the Yankees. 26 home runs, hitting .315 on the year, OPS of .976, slugging .574, .402 on base percentage. The guy's having a good year, and you wonder, why would you trade him? Well, the answer's simple. You know, number one, he's 27 years old. Stashed in the minor league system. The Yankees really don't have much playing time for him. You have guys like Luke Voit, Mike Ford. There's a lot of talent at first base, and there's a guy that the Yankees probably don't want to have to protect come the 40-man during the offseason. So you had some international signing bonus money. You know, Cashman's been really good with using that money. You maybe get a player to be named later or cash considerations. And McBroom gets a chance on a team where he might be able to play, might be able to get some big league playing time. So, yeah, you lose a good depth piece, but it's not really a trade where you're going to scratch your head and say, you know, why did the Yankees do that? You know, that was a really dumb move. I'm sure Cashman, if he thought McBroom was a big league option for them, he would have kept him around. But I think that they decided to move on, even though McBroom's been such a big piece to the Scranton lineup. And it's a team where they're competing for a postseason spot as well. So you wish McBroom luck in Kansas City. You hope he gets a chance. He's a kid with a lot of power, and he showed it this year. And he might just stick at first base for the Royals in the future, and he'll probably get a chance to as the rosters expand over the next month or so. Before we wrap up today's show, we're going to give you a couple of Yankees injury updates. Cameron Maybin has been dealing with a wrist injury. Yankees are hopeful he'll be ready to play over the next couple of days. Maybin's been a good piece for the Yankees, really good in the clubhouse, and hopefully he'll be back healthy. If you haven't checked it out yet, the Yankee website I write for, Bronx Pinstripes, give them a shout out, at Bronx Pinstripes, has teamed up with Maybin to sell shirts, and all the proceeds go to a charity that Maybin has selected. Go to bronxpinstripes.com to check that out. Make sure you buy a shirt. They're really nice. They hug season on them. You know somebody who likes to hug? Or heck, you like to hug? Buy yourself a shirt. Help out a good cause. Back to the injury updates. Dellin Betances threw 22 pitches to hitters on Saturday in Tampa. He told reporters that he felt better as he's going on, better than the last time he threw. He's scheduled to face hitters today at Yankee Stadium. That's a good sign. Hopefully Betances is back. That's another nasty arm in the back end of the bullpen for the Yankees. They would love to get him back in the near future. Two guys who have started rehab assignments. Number one, Luis Severino, started on Sunday for Scranton Wilkes-Barre. He threw an inning. Wasn't really great in terms of his stat line, but just seeing Severino back on the mound amps me up, gets me excited. I'm happy to see him back on the mound. Hopefully the Yankees are able to stretch him out over the next couple of weeks, get him ready for the postseason. Edwin Encarnacion also played in that ballgame. He DH'd. He was scheduled to play first base in Monday night's game for the Rail Riders. They're expecting him to be back at some time this week. Giancarlo Stanton still doing baseball activities. Aaron Hicks was cleared to throw. They'll probably give him a couple more days before he gets back into baseball activities. And the injury updates are starting to get better. Other than CC Sabathia, who we talked about earlier, we're starting to see guys progress to get back. And if the Yankees could get healthy for the postseason run, it's only going to make them stronger. Do I have faith in this roster that they have right now? Sure. They've proven it all year long. They've won without Giancarlo Stanton. They've won without Aaron Hicks for the majority of the year. Heck, the ace, Severino, hasn't touched the mound yet. And the Yankees have 90 wins. So, you know, I do trust this team, but I would love to have reinforcements down the stretch, especially with the talented guys that the Yankees have on the injured list that are on the brink of possibly returning to the big league club. That's going to do it for today's show. Again, as always, it just seems like there's so much excitement building around this Yankee team. The Yankees are battling for that home field advantage in the American League. Can they do it? Can they ensure that the postseason has to go through the Bronx? Only time will tell. But we have a lot of confidence in what the Bronx Bombers are doing right now, and we hope that there's a lot of postseason baseball in the Bronx this October. Before we close it out for today, reminder, follow us on Twitter at PinstripeTalkND. Also follow my personal account at Nick_Delahanty. Search our Facebook page, Pinstripe Talk Podcast. Our podcast available on all podcasting platforms. Apple Podcast. Subscribe, rate, and review the show on there. Google Play Music, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, CastBox, Pocket Cast. You name it. Our show is there for you. We love talking Yankees baseball. We hope that you join in on our conversation. What did you guys think of the intro? I didn't even talk about it. Brand new intro. We are growing as a show. We are so excited. We are part of the Overtime Media crew. They hooked us up with a great, great new intro. Let us know what you think about that. Tweet us out that. We're definitely excited to hear what you got to think. Shout out to Justin Hull, my producer on Overtime Media. He's been fantastic. He's been helping me tremendously with our show. They've been tremendous. Everything I've needed, they've definitely stepped up to the plate. I'm proud to be a part of the Overtime Media crew. You want to help promote my show? Buy a t-shirt. Go to Teespring. Buy whatever you want. Sweatshirt, t-shirt, long sleeve shirt, tank top, coffee mug. You name it, it's on there. All proceeds go toward the development of our show. We definitely would love for you to be public advertising for us. Make sure you buy a shirt, rep our show, and help others find a way to communicate with us as we talk about the Bronx Bombers. That's going to wrap up our show for today. As always, this has been the Pinstripe Talk Podcast. I'm your host, Nick Delahanty. We thank you all for tuning in. Let's go, Yankees. Let's keep pushing toward that top seed in the American League. Let's get that home field advantage throughout the postseason. We'll catch you next time here on the Pinstripe Talk podcast, powered by Overtime Media.